can't wait.
We're going to peas.
We're really excited.
Up, 3.6 seconds, put your hands up. I tell you, this one, it takes 8 minutes 15 seconds. That is the speed of light. Okay, there it is. To get through, it takes 8 minutes and 50 seconds for a light beam to get from the sun to us here. Here's the final one, okay? How long do you think it would take to travel the whole cosmos at the speed of light? The whole cosmos, okay? That's it. All the universe, all of it, from one side to the other, it's expanding, but let's just run with it. Okay, if you're traveling the speed of light, let me tell you, okay? I'm not going to give you guesses for this. Okay, it would take you 46 billion, not minutes, not hours, years. 46 billion years. Traveling the speed of light. It would take you 1.26 seconds to get to the moon traveling the speed of light, but to go across the whole of the cosmos, 46 billion years. See, the universe is big, big, big. It's very big. The God who made the universe, well, he's big, big, big. Yet Christmas, we remember, he became small, small, small. Can we have little Emily? Is little Emily knocking about? Here we go. I just want to show you. Okay. Come on up. Here's a relative newborn. How old is Emily?
8 weeks.
8 weeks. Come on up. Here's little Emily. Cute. So small. I was chatting to my Muslim barber last week, who cut off lots of my hair. And he was saying to me, God could no way become a baby because God cannot be dependent. No one can touch God. And yet the marvel of Christmas is that God really did become a child. Utterly dependent. He became one of us. Thank you. I think you give a little round of applause for that. What humility. What a cost. Verse 14, put it like this. John chapter 1, verse 14. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. God entered our family, the human race, so that we might enter his family, the eternal family of God. The question is, how did we treat him when God became part of our family? Well, have a look at verse 10. We treated him really badly. Look at it. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Amazingly, God became one of us, and what did we do with that? We ignored him, we rejected him, and ultimately put him on a cross. Now, I don't know if you heard about the grandfather. He went for Christmas Day celebrations with his family, and the kids, well, the grandchildren, they were treating him a little bit off. They were a little bit cold, a little bit cool with him, and he didn't understand it all day, normally all hugs and kisses, and they were being a little bit funny. And when he got home, he looked at his bureau, and on his bureau was a pile of checks with each of their names on it. And he remembered he wrote in each of their Christmas cards, "Happy Christmas, you can buy your own presents this year." Okay, that's it. No, not that. It didn't. I thought that was funnier than that, but clearly not. A great misunderstanding, but not so with us and Jesus. Jesus walks into our world, the creatures that he made. And we don't say thank you for the sunset. Thank you for the fun, food, and family. Thank you for being my king. Be my king. We reject him. So violently reject him, we put him on a cross. See, deep down, that is all of us. Deep down, we don't want God telling us what to do. We don't want him in our lives. We don't want him telling us what's right and wrong. We don't want to be accountable to him. See, we all do it. That's what the Bible calls sin. We reject him. And as we reject him, he doesn't put us in our family, his family. We can't be with him for all eternity. But why does God become one of us? Remember this. God enters our family, so that we might enter his family. See, there is a beauty to Christmas. Just have a look at verse 12. It's the most remarkable thing you will hear all day. Forget the king's speech. Listen to this. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. You see, God enters our family so that we might enter his family. Jesus takes on our flesh so that we might become part of his eternal family. You know, if we were going to go back far enough in history, you'd get before Wales was formed, before there was a world, before there was a neutron or a proton, before there was anything, do you know what you would find? A family. God the Father, loving God the Son, in the joy of the Holy Spirit. A perfect family of love. Jesus became one of us so that we might become part of that forever family. Now, I was listening to an interview this week, Roger Federer. For those of you who don't know Roger Federer, he's one of the best tennis players who's ever played. There he is, that's what he looks like. And he's recounting a story this year. He went to London, he flew over there to get a specialist to have a look at his knee. He was giving him a bit of jip. And he had a couple of hours to spare. He was in Wimbledon. And so he thought, do you know what? I'm going to go to Wimbledon. Never been there when I've not been playing. I'm going to go over there. And he thought, I don't know where to go in. So he went to the big main gate. And he said to the person at the gate, can I come in, please? And the person at the gate said to them, have you got your Wimbledon card? Only people with a Wimbledon card. He said, I have got one, but it's at home in Switzerland. I can't bring it right now. Can you please let me in? And they said, not without a Wimbledon card. And he thought, okay, well, just so you know, I'm often don't have to come through this entrance because in the summer I'm here with the players. I get to play. He was trying to not give it away, but I come in with the players. Can I come in? And they said, you haven't got your Wimbledon card, no. And he said, this is the final straw. He said, I've won this championship 8 times. Can you let me in? You don't have a Wimbledon card, no. And so she said, you need to go around to the side entrance. So she went around to the side entrance, and there he met security guards, and they recognized him. He said, oh, it's Roger Federer. Can we have a selfie? He said, yes, you can. And he had a selfie with them, and they said, have you got your Wimbledon card? He said, no. They said, it's fine. Come on through. And as he went through these doors, there was the head of the Lawn Tennis Association there to welcome. They treated him like a king. And he said, do you know what he felt like doing? Going to the other side of the gate, knocking on it, and said, I'm in. I'm in. There he was. You see, Roger Federer, do you know, to get the Wimbledon card, do you know what you need to do? Either pay a lot of money or win Wimbledon. It's a very exclusive club. Only a few people ever make it. I'm looking around this room, maybe you, probably unlikely. Grand Slam champion. But look at the joy of what happens at Christmas. Verse 12, have a look at it. Okay, yet to all who did receive Jesus, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. He gave them the right to become part of God's forever family. See, here is a club that by nature none of us belong to, but the offer is open to all of us. It doesn't matter who you are, it doesn't matter what you have done, it doesn't matter how good or bad you've been, how important or unimportant you think you are, Jesus has come to give you the right to become part of God's forever family. And what do you have to do to be part of that? Look what he says, verse 12. Yet to all who receive him, to those who believed in his name. You see, to be part of this family, you just have to accept Jesus. You have to trust him. You have to say, please forgive me for all my wickedness. Please be my king. Please let me be part of your family. And that is the gift that he loves to give all of us. There's a guy called Jim Packer. And he was a pastor, and he put it like this. This is what you get as you become a children of God. You get permanent intimacy with God as one's heavenly Father. The God who created the cosmos, that it would take 46 billion light years to cross. He became a baby so that you can know him, so you can be welcomed in. It's been an awful few years, hasn't it? I was just reflecting on it. This Christmas is so weird. Do you know, back in March this year in England, we still had to wear face masks when you were indoors. Do you remember that? That was March this year. The restrictions were only fully lifted in March this year. COVID has knocked our world for six. There's been so much instability, so much insecurity for all of us. And yet here at Christmas, there is the one bit of security we all need. Christ became one of us so that we might be welcomed into his family. I'm aware that you might be here just today and you're having Christmas dinner with family, and it's great to have you here. Look, there's a few things you could take to follow on this. And maybe you want to say to Jesus, I want to receive you today. And if you do, you can do that in the quietness of your heart in a moment. But we've got these books, Four Kinds of Christmas. Which one are you? Let's face it, it's going to be interesting. We're probably going to watch the King's Speech, but then after that, I'll take you 25 minutes, half an hour to read. What kind of Christmas are you? It's a way of thinking about what Christmas is all about. We also run a course in the